Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I am will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, which is beside Zaratan, and there, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I want to preach tonight on the secret to seeing a miracle, the secret to seeing a miracle. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for preparation time our church has gone through and is going through now. And Lord, we anticipate wonderful things from you. And Lord, we're going into the home stretch of this. And so I pray, Lord, that this message will just help us, dear God, as we spend increased time, Lord, in these last days in your presence. And Lord, preparing ourselves, dear God, so that we can make sure, dear Lord, that there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, nothing would prevent your good hand of work in our midst, Lord. And so may this message help prepare us, we pray, for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The secret to seeing a miracle. A new leader has been appointed over Israel after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and after thousands of funerals in the wilderness. The generation who refused to cross Jordan are now dead and gone. Moses is allowed to get a wilderness side peek at the promised land, but after that peek, God takes his soul to live with him in glory. And then the Bible tells us that God takes his body to a secret sepulcher. The Bible says this, tells us that no man knoweth of unto this day. Joshua now has been given the responsibility of leading Israel through the Jordan River into Canaan land. He's been given this command of God. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So, in obedience to God, preparations are made to cross into Canaan land. Spies are sent in, and spies are divinely protected. The land has been scouted, a plan formulated. All that lies between them and the promises of God is a river called Jordan. God has decided that their entrance into Canaan land will be a miraculous one. So he does not command Joshua to send to search for a ford in the river or to manufacture some type of a boat that would carry them over, boats and bridges. Instead, this is God's plan. This is God's command. We read it back in chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. He goes in verse 17 and says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. I'd say that's a dramatic entrance. Amen. That is how God in heaven decides that the people are to enter Jordan land. You know what? He wanted to send a signal. He wanted the heathen to know that the people of Israel serve a mighty God. God wants the world to know that he's not just another piece of carved wood or a made-up mythical creature or a false spirit or fanciful story. He wants the world to see the miraculous. Let me say it again, folks. God wants the world to see the miraculous. He wants the world to see what's unexplainable. He wants the world to recognize him as the creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Most High God. But before this can happen, God lays down a requirement. Stay with me, folks. We're getting there. One thing that the children of Israel must be willing to do. God has Joshua, their new leader, bring to them one holy and divine command. If they keep it, the miraculous will happen. If they refuse, the world will never see the miracle God wants to perform for his glory. The day before the miracle, God commands. And God's command is communicated through God's man to God's people. And this is it, Joshua 3:5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. For what reason? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, can we fast forward a little bit to a few weeks into the future? I'm going to pull a story out of a couple chapters ahead, and we're doing this for a reason. The people have obeyed, and Jordan has been miraculously crossed. Jericho's walls have since fallen down. The world stands in awe at the power of God upon his people. One resident of Canaan testified with these words concerning the fear that fell upon the heathen inhabitants of the land. I know that the Lord God hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So I guess that miracle worked. It sent the right message. And at this point in time, Israel seems to be unstoppable. I mean, God is triumphing. Victory is given. God's enemies are quaking in fear. Then all of a sudden, we run into an unusual thing that happens in a little town called Ai. 3,000 warriors of Israel march to the town of Ai, a force that certainly should have been ample to snuff out the small resistance of this minor community. But instead of victory, Israel suffers a humiliating defeat. A small militia of heathens chased 3,000 of God's people completely out of their valley. By the way, 36 Israeli warriors are slaughtered in this rout. That's wives that lost husbands and children that are now without a father. Joshua's stunned. I mean, he's stunned. What happened? We crossed the Jordan. What happened? We marched around Jericho and the walls fell down. Lord, what happened? What went wrong? The people of God lose face and the reputation of God suffers. Preacher, why? Why this shameful setback? What is the problem? And is there a cure to this problem? Joshua chapter 7, why don't you flip over there and look at verse number 11. Joshua 7, verse number 11. Here's the problem. Joshua 7, 11, 12, and 13. Israel hath sinned. Israel hath sinned, and they all have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. By the way, does this command sound familiar? Now we're in Joshua chapter 7. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Folks, if you haven't figured it out, tonight we're going to focus on that word sanctify. The word sanctify is found three times in just two verses in the book of Joshua. I'm going to read these two verses back to back. Joshua 3:5 we read, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua 7 verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, here's the third mention, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. The first time the word sanctify is used, it is given as a command that must be obeyed in order to enter Canaan land. And you know what? They obeyed it and they entered in a miraculous fashion. The second time it's used, it is given as a responsibility to the leader of Israel, a command for him to set a standard in the assembly concerning holiness before the Lord. The third time it is used in this book, it is again given as a command to the people of Israel, this time not to get them into the promised land, but instead as a requirement for them to continue to experience victory now that they are in the promised land. Let me hear an amen and let me know you're there, all right? I want to preach this message tonight because I believe that so many of us long for a miracle and so many of us have been praying for a miracle. Preacher, what is the secret to seeing a miracle? The secret is no secret at all. The secret to seeing a miracle is found in one word, and that word is sanctification. Sanctification. Stay with me tonight. I want to draw some conclusions from these stories, and I want to challenge us in these closing hours of these 10 days of prayer that we've set aside to make sure that we're properly prepared for the 5 days of evangelism that will follow. Let me point out several things in this story. Number one, they were challenged to sanctification by God-appointed leadership. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you know what? Both times that God wanted to give the command for them to sanctify themselves, God spoke to Joshua and dealt first with leadership and then said, pass that message on to people, that the people that you have been put in responsibility of. Every Christian leader, it is our duty to remind those under us of the importance and the responsibility of personal sanctification. Now, Daddy, that means that that's your responsibility in your house, that you continually keep before your wife and your children and your family the importance of sanctifying yourself, the importance of staying clean before the Lord. That's why you ought to thank the Lord you got a pastor that's not afraid to preach against sin. I'm not talking about the sin that's happening in some other church or some other county or some other state, but to even be so bold as to bring to the attention of God's people here in this church the very sins that may be amongst us that we need to face and we need to look at and we need to get right before God. Second verse that we find the word sanctify in, Joshua 7:13, up, sanctify the people. That they were challenged to sanctification by God-appointed leadership. God said to Moses, up, you sanctify the people. He is told to do this by God. God is holding Joshua responsible. Now, how can he do this? Say, preacher, he can't make people do stuff. How can he do it? You know how he did it? He did so by passing on the command to them. He does this by commanding them to sanctify themselves. The honest truth is, whether you're a leader or not a leader, you can only sanctify yourself. You can't make anybody live a life of sanctification. But that still doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep that message before the people and before those under us. He tells them what God said. He shares with them God's word. You know what? Jesus prayed this in the Lord's Prayer. I like calling it the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. What a chapter. Jesus prayed this as he was heading to the cross. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, sanctification can be achieved by learning to live in the world without being of the world. Let me say it again. Sanctification can be achieved by learning to live in the world without being of the world. We have part of a verse up here on the front wall. This verse, from this verse comes the name of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It comes from a portion of scripture that encourages us in this matter of sanctifying ourselves. Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What is grace going to teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Why do you see, folks, why do we see in America, more and more in the churches of America, a lack of separation, a lack of sanctification? Let me say this. I'm going to hold leadership responsible, first of all. You know what? It was Joshua's job to stand up, look the people in the eye, and pass on God's commands when it comes to this matter of sanctification. We have men, and sadly, even unbiblically, some women that are in the pulpits of America, and not only are they not blowing the trumpet, not only are they not preaching on separation and sanctification, but many times they use that very pulpit to destroy those concepts in the hearts and lives of their people. I mean, when we have a church that's just a handful of miles from this building here, and that pastor's no longer there, and I'm glad, because you know what? He was a hireling. He was a fake. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. But when you're a pastor of a Baptist church, a pastor of a Baptist church, and the type of things and activities that you're planning for your church is that on a Sunday night after the service, we're going to have a little early service, and then we're going to rent the Linton Pool, and we're going to all meet down there, all the members of the church, and we're going to have a big mixed bathing, mixed swimming party. And all the men and women of the church will put on their bathing suits and spend time splashing and frolicking together. And I think to myself, no wonder the world's not even taking us serious anymore. I mean, there's people that aren't even saved that's got more sense than that. And I can't help but question what is in the mind of a minister who would want to create a situation where the women in his church, he'd be able to mingle among them in immodest attire. What is wrong with America? We don't have preachers that are willing to stand up and say, sanctify yourselves. They don't want to get their own lives clean, so therefore they can't preach on a lot of things that they ought to preach on. But folks, let me say this, that leadership position, it's not just the pastor, it's just not the leader of a church, but it's the leader of the homes. Man, listen to me. First of all, we must keep our own lives clean before God. Before we ever turn to our wives or turn to our children, try to lead in this area of sanctification, we need to make sure that we have our lives clean before God. And folks, listen, why, preacher? Why preach on this stuff? Because you know what? Everybody's wanting to see a miracle, but nobody's wanting to lift up holy hands before God. Everybody's wanting to see a miracle. Talk about the good old days, but nobody seems like wants to sanctify themselves before the Lord. Number one, they were challenged to sanctification by God's appointed leadership. Number two, they were commissioned to take personal responsibility for their own sanctification. I've dealt with leadership, but let me now deal with every individual in here. Every single person in this room is responsible for your own sanctification, for you to make sure that you have set yourself apart unto the Lord. Preacher, what is sanctification? What does it mean to sanctify yourself? The word sanctified means to set apart, to consecrate, to choose holiness, to choose to be clean, to dedicate, to hallow, to purify and proclaim as such, to be and keep one holy. What are we to sanctify? The command is sanctify, listen church, yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. I don't think I've gone to anybody in the church. I don't remember having this meeting. You know, I forget some things, so come talk to me if I did put you in charge of this. And then I'll rescind that. But I don't think I've ever gone to a member of the church and say, you know, your responsibility is to walk around the church checking out everybody else's sanctification. Your job is to set the seat of judgment and look around at everybody and decide how they could be a better Christian. You know what, folks? Why don't we take the beam out of our own eye before we try to help somebody with a mote that may be in their eye? And the honest truth is, you know what? You haven't been in charge of anybody but you. Let's make sure that we're sanctifying ourselves. What this means is that in every Christian's personal, it is every Christian's personal responsibility to set oneself apart from this world. Teenager, you listen to me. I'm glad God gave you a mom and dad that helps in this area of sanctification. I'm glad that God's given you a mom and dad that have set some rules to keep you from the world. But you know what? At some point in time, you need to take personal responsibility for your sanctification before God. Not because mom and dad has a rule, but because it's right before the Lord. As a young man in my latter teenage years, you know what I decided to do one day? Take responsibility for me. Take responsibility to live my life according to the scriptures. Take responsibility to separate myself from worldly influences. I had to decide that for me. And eventually, no matter what your parents do, you're going to have to make that decision or you will fall into backsliddenness, you will fall into the world, into worldliness. And by the way, it may not seem like a big deal, but you'll live a life where you never see one meaningful miracle in your life. Because I'm talking about the secret to seeing a miracle. Every Christian is to choose holiness. You make a choice to hallow, dedicate yourselves to the Lord. You're to purify your life and proclaim it as set apart unto God. You're to do this for you. You're to do this before God. You're to do this publicly, unashamedly. God has commanded this without apology, without exception. If you name the name of Christ, if you claim to be a saved child of God, you have been commanded to be sanctified and separated from this world, from this world. Just as I talk to the young people about the authority that God's put in their life, yes, I am to remind our church on a regular basis from this pulpit the importance of sanctification. Folks, listen to me, but your responsibility is to sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. You need to take responsibility in each and every one of your own personal life. Now, I want to say this. We know that no man can sanctify himself without the Lord's help. That is why God penned these words for us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be wholly sanctified? Well, we need God's help in this. Our body is to be set apart unto God. Our soul, which is our mind and our heart, is to be set aside and apart from the world unto God, from sin unto God. Our spirit is to be set apart unto God. This is a process you can go to. I put on our prayer sheet, and it's been a joy and I think a process, and I've heard so many good testimonies that if we've gathered here three times a day, well, listen, we're praying for lost people. Before we can pray that God does something unusual to in reaching the lost, it's important that every single one of us go into our own lives and ask God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. You see, God still is searching for somebody who's willing to get right with him. It's still searching for somebody, some church, that will get together, yes, as a group, but individually take responsibility for their own sanctification process. You want to see a miracle? The secret to seeing a miracle is this matter of sanctification. Let me give you the last thought. They were encouraged to remember that the benefits of sanctification comes, boy, listen to this, sometime, somewhere in the future. Sometime, somewhere in the future. Go back and look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 5. I'm going to try to encourage especially our young people in this. Joshua 3, verse number 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, folks, sanctification earns you something down the road. The results of sanctification are not always immediately seen. The rewards of obeying this command oftentimes do not come to you the same day as the decision to do them. Teenager, I want to challenge you to make a commitment to live separate from the world. But preacher, it seems like right now it costs me so much. Don't worry about what it's costing you today. Worry about what it will gain you in the future. When someone drops their separatist stand, when they throw away their convictions, begin to excuse their involvement in worldliness, watch this, there may not seem to be many short-term consequences. A young person, you don't have any idea what you're giving up in your future by doing that. You know what? You may go into worldliness and say it doesn't make a difference in my life. But are you taking a path that will lead you away from God's perfect will? Are you going to miss the person that God wanted you to marry? Are you going to miss the place that God wanted you to be? How many miracles tomorrow are sacrificed because we will not sanctify ourselves today? Say, preacher, I don't understand why 10 days of prayer when we go for 5 days of evangelistic work, intense evangelistic work, then you don't understand the principle that I'm teaching right now. Because this time is not for this time. This time is for that time. And again, so many people want to talk about what they want to see. But I'm sad to report that not too many people want to see a miracle of God bad enough to have their lives inconvenienced at all or to give up even one bit of worldliness to see it achieved. Young married couples, you know what? It may seem like at times that living a sanctified, separated life as a young couple and raising your children like that, it may not seem like it matters. But wait, you better think about tomorrow. You better remember those kids aren't always going to be young. There's a tomorrow reward for doing the right thing today. Young ladies, I beg you to live right. Well, it doesn't seem to matter. It seems like some of them that aren't, seems like things are working out for them. You know what? You don't sanctify yourself for today. You sanctify yourself for tomorrow. Folks, let me just say this. Bus workers, tomorrow's Monday. That's a long way from next Sunday. Preacher, why live right on Monday? Because you live right on Monday because there's a next Sunday, amen? Why live right? Why do right? Why pay the price? Why pay what it costs? What will I see tomorrow if I do it? Maybe nothing. What will I see Tuesday if I do it? Maybe nothing. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. By the way, this week, Wednesday night's coming. This week, Thursday night's coming. This week, Friday night's coming. Young people, this week, Saturday's coming to youth rally. Why is it so important that we live right and keep clean hands and a clean heart before the Lord? Because of what God wants to do tomorrow. I want to remind the young men in our church that, you know what, long before David went down into that valley and picked up 5 smooth stones out of a creek bed and went and faced a giant, and by the end of that night, songs were being written about him. Long before that happened, David was by himself in the wilderness where only him and God could see what he would do. And there he had to face a bear. And there he had to face a lion. And you know what? We decide for God what he can trust us with. Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now is proving to God what he can trust us with. And so you know what we do it for? We do it not for what occurs today. We do it for what God has for us in the future. I'm excited about this week. I want to continue in this prayer mode for the next 2 days. I want to continue then into soul winning opportunities, extensive ones beginning on Wednesday and twice on Wednesday and twice on Thursday and twice on Friday. I've been praying and visiting, talking to young people. You know what? Pastor Jerry Ross wants to make sure I'm showing up with some young people this Saturday that are lost that I can put in the pew at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what I'm praying for? Listen. And I'm done, a miracle. But I can pray all I want to for a miracle. What God says is this, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow I will show great things among you. I will do great things among you. You know, a lot of times we'll do and give up almost anything in order to see a miracle of God, except the thing that God wants us to give up the most. Say, preacher, what is that? Don't ask me that question. Ask him that question. Don't ask me that question. I don't know your heart. Ask him that question. Do we really want to see a miracle? If we do, the secret to seeing a miracle is to sanctify ourselves before the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this last time I'll be standing behind the pulpit and preaching, as far as I know, for the next week. And, oh Lord, someone else will stand here on Wednesday. I've prayed so much for Brother Miller. Someone else will stand here Thursday and Friday and Saturday afternoon. Someone else will stand here next Sunday morning for Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night. And Lord, it allows me to really just lean back and to spend the time that maybe I normally would spend in preparation, sermon preparation, to spend time in personal sanctification, personal prayer, personal preparation. Then to get off of my knees after that time and go out. Lord, seeking with your help, please, and the power of the Holy Spirit, lost people that we can see brought into the kingdom of Christ. Lord, for somebody and maybe many somebodies, what we do over the course of the next couple of days, eternity's at stake. Not our eternity, but somebody else's. And so I pray, Lord, that one last appeal, that we would have a church that would come together in one accord, all buy in, all participate, all get it, all get clean, all get right, all lift up holy hands, so that we can see the miracle that I believe that you want to bring to us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.